Well, did everybody have a good time at Fan Appreciation Night, Mosaic Stadium?
Can we yawn?
Can I wake up?
Yeah.
Wake up, Bell.
Hey, Jamie, you know what? It takes an amazing effort to make Jake Mayer and the Calgary Stampeders look that good.
three touchdowns?
Jeez. Yeah.
Against the worst?
The worst team in the league just blew out the playoff-bound Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Mm. What do you say about the Saskatchewan? Does it matter?
No, that's the be-all and end-all of this game.
I think it matters.
Will it matter? I don't think it matters at all.
Jamie, you want to go into the playoffs on an upswing.
Yeah, they had a four-game win streak. They had a four-game win streak, and then a bunch of backups came in today.
Now they're on a one-game losing streak.
Still the same team. On the downswing, right? Go in with an upswing, Jamie. Not the down. I don't play golf or nothing, but ain't that upswing down? I don't know. It was a terrible game.
It was farther on an upswing than a downswing, yeah.
But
terrible performance.
Daryl and I were, before we went to air on the postgame show, and Belton will throw this at you.
Yeah.
The minute Sergio Castillo hit that field goal, that sucks the air out of the balloon, but Daryl, you said it's more than just when Winnipeg won.
Yeah.
It's the decision Corey Mace made the instant after that field goal went through that led to 27-12 loss to the worst team in the league.
On our pregame show, remember we're checking the emails and we said, here, look, the Rough Riders have made roster changes.
Yeah.
Shea Patterson is now starting in front of Trevor Harris, and these other changes based on guys who are
Emelis is out. Milligan Jr.'s out.
Right? They took out the big players, the guys who win football games for them. That's when the air went out of the balloon for the Rough Riders. Yes, Castillo kicking the game-winning points for Winnipeg, which made Saskatchewan no longer eligible for first place. Big thing. But then the reaction after that, all week long, they've been preparing for this to be a big game. Head coach Corey Mace has been saying, yes, it matters. Trevor Harris, the quarterback, yes, we're doing everything we can to win. And then all of a sudden they say, you know what? We were just kidding. We're not really trying to win. We're putting in all our backups. That's the end of the football team tonight.
And I'm just say, fellas, you know, looking at some of the backups, I'm thinking like, maybe such and such shouldn't be here next year. Maybe the quarter. I'm thinking of all that stuff too, right?
Because
this is their chance to really show and prove something, right? You know, the backups and everything. And yeah, that was wake me up when this is over, man. Because that was a struggle.
It was an embarrassing performance by a team that was the hottest team in the league. Four in a row they'd won coming in, and now they're going into the playoffs on a one-game losing skid. I know you'll say it's backups, it's scrubs, it's guys who might not even be here next year, but it's not the momentum. I know a lot of guys say momentum doesn't matter. Yes, momentum matters.
Sure does.
You don't think Montreal fought like heck today? Montreal didn't have anything to play for, and the Alouettes fought like heck to beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers today, gave it everything they had. They're going to be a lot happier. I know they didn't like the loss, but they're going to feel a lot better about themselves today than the Saskatchewan Roughriders will or should feel.
And I will say the Alouettes, they didn't take their backup, or they didn't put their backup in until, what, the fourth quarter, maybe the third, end of the third.
Dave Salzander came in the third, I think.
I don't know. I think the starters probably should have played today for the Riders.
I agree with you.
I don't know what I said pregame.
You said to bench Trevor Harris immediately once that field goal went through.
That backfired. I would have started those guys. I'm with you on that one, Belton. I would have started those big guys. I don't know if I would have made the changes that he made. I know that maybe they're limping a little bit, but gee, Frankie Hixon goes in and does absolutely nothing, right? Shea Patterson starts and does absolutely nothing. That defense was horrendous tonight. If they play that way defensively, the BC Lions are going to shred them. Yes. You can't just all of a sudden say it doesn't matter when all week long they're saying it does matter.
Our mentality, you got to play that you didn't show it. It showed a team that went in and went, they're resting everybody.
We don't care. That's Calgary. It doesn't matter. We don't care.
We're going to roll over Calgary.
I think it's
worrisome. Shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
And Calgary's still a professional football team, and they showed it.
They did.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone postgame show. Line them up. What are you thinking tonight? 27-12 loss to the Calgary Stampeders in a meaningless game as they get ready for the BC Lions.
Tell us it's meaningless after next week.
Dallas! kick us off here on the Green Zone postgame show.
Well, first of all, you guys missed me for the last couple of weeks.
Well, I saw your name up there, Dallas, and I went, oh, sure. He doesn't call on a four-game win streak, but he calls the minute they lose to the Stampeders?
You know what, Jamie? You have more excitement in your voice than I think I've heard you in this excitement or the entire excitement for the last couple of weeks. I think I'm growing on you, Jamie.
Right. So you're not calling, but you're listening to us still, Dallas, that means, right?
I am. No, I am. But
oh boy. It's good to hear from you, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's good as well. No, all jokes aside, yeah, I just was busy, had some other obligations. But okay, couple of things. So first and foremost, and I know there's going to be a couple of people talking about it, probably a lot. We got to mention, like, what the wind, where did that come from in the Montreal-Winnipeg game? Like, what? I'm sorry.
They can control the weather.
And the rain, Dallas. And the wind and the rain.
Right. Yeah, but I don't know. We won't get too much into it, but what I will say is right when Castillo was kicking and then it just poof, disappeared. Kind of like, I guess, my vacuum cleaner shtick did. But okay, so getting back to the thing here. What I will say is this, you know, Jamie, you kind of mentioned this was a meaningless game. I think this was a really pivotal moment for the Rough Rider organization because I understand there was a deflation. Like it was seconds, literally seconds in the fourth, before the fourth ended and we could obviously see where the game was going to go. We thought we had the West final locked in. So, but this is what I've been saying about the Rough Rider organization, even with Corey Mace at the helm, which I'm very happy with. I know he will continue is, you know, the emotion gets the best. And I, you know, obviously the emotion gets the best of me too. This is what I wish, like, we needed to make a statement against the worst team in the league and we didn't show. I think Shea Patterson as the backup towards Trevor Harris, while he did play good at the beginning of this season, we need a backup. One of the questions, if you want to talk about a controversy, would be, will Trevor Harris return? There was a lot of this potential stigma that maybe Trevor Harris will go away and he won't be, his contract won't be renewed. I was one of those people. I will agree. But now we need Trevor Harris. We don't have an established back. Shea Patterson, he was given the opportunity regardless of the deflation based on the outcome of the Winnipeg Montreal game. And this is where we are. So this was a really big deflation and yeah, like last game of the regular season. And this is what the Rough Rider organization had to show for it. That is my key focus. I don't care about the 4-game win streak. I'm not denying it. I'm not ignoring it, but I'm saying these kind of moments, and this has been my synopsis of this entire season, even going back to a couple of seasons. And this is where I've been told, oh, I don't deserve to breathe oxygen. Yeah, I heard a couple of my haters. I don't care. But this is where I'm saying, folks, these kind of moments define the Saskatchewan Rough Rider organization. We're in the playoffs. We do amazing things, but these deflate our team. So what I want to say to summarize everything before we get to the next set of callers is they need to fix this. Otherwise, what are we going to expect for the West semifinal? BC, granted, we blew them out, but guess who blew us out? And that's what I'm saying. We lost to the worst team in the league, not even in the playoffs. They showed more energy, everything, and this is what we have to deal with going into the West semifinal. That's a big problem, and obviously everybody can carry on from those callers. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. And, I'm curious to hear you guys' thoughts from this. Thank you.
Well, Dallas, we'll hopefully hear you next week here on the Green Zone postgame show. I don't know if it's going to be a win or a loss because it's Vernon Adams Jr. leading that BC Lions team in here, not Nathan Rourke, who led them to that 39-8 dismantling loss to the Rough Riders at Mosaic a few weeks ago.
Those Lions were disengaged when they were here. And didn't they look, when the Lions were here 2 weeks ago, Belton, didn't they look a lot like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders tonight?
Absolutely.
Just
they
didn't
did.
Care,
just,
right?
They didn't. And that, I don't know. Again, you're heading into the playoffs. Like I was, and you only got 5 of your core guys out. The majority of these guys have started, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw defense, missed tackles, and all I could do was sit there thinking, Vernon Adams come here. Oh, like, man, he might have 600 passing yards with these whole Jake Mara. If Jake Mara can do what he did, what's Vernon Adams going to do?
Yeah. That wasn't Corey Mace's defense out there.
What was that?
He wasn't. I think
they played vanilla, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they did.
And they played a lot of backups. But just the flat, they were so flat. I just can't imagine a team being that flat trying to get ready for the playoffs. Even if you're a backup on a team and you go in, try something. And they just, you know, they were exactly, to me, like the BC Lions were when they were here 2 weeks ago. And to me, that's dangerous.
1-877-332-8255. You don't want to get those bad habits at all creeping into your game this late into the season. The proof will be in next week's West semifinal. Let's go back to the fan line. Well, Darren, it all wrapped up. 9 wins, not 13. Steak.
It's scary. I agree 100% with Dallas, and I can't believe it again. I'm agreeing with Daryl with everything Daryl said. You know, like, you know what? You go into the playoffs, you play your guys, even if you play them a half, you kick the snot out of the other team. That's how you set a statement, and then the other team looks at, uh-oh, we're going to their house. Now they're coming to our house going, hey, they pooped the bed, we're going to run right over top of them. I got my tickets for next week, but I sure hope that doesn't happen. But my big beef today is all the Bomber fans, every one of them, including my wife. She says, and Capernest, the football gods blew in the wind, the football gods, blah, 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 blah. It was magical. They all need to be drug tested, every one of those fools. If they've never been to Montreal and watch how the wind comes down off the mountain there and blows around, this happens all the time. But my thing is that I'm really ticked with is the kicker. When you're golfing and the big gust of wind comes, do you hit the ball? No, you step back from the ball. And if he takes a time count, it's 5 yards.
When it's breezy, swing real easy.
or you kick it low, which he is capable of doing, and he didn't do. So that's crazy. But it's funny, my wife actually, she's ticked at the CFL right now, especially for the fantasy thing, because, you know, the Bombers win, and then the Riders sit everybody. Well, I was watching my thing, and I had to change players. I had Jake Mara, and he got me a lot of points today. I loved it. But anyways, the last thing I want to say is, I got a plan, because I heard you guys talking about smoking stuff in Vancouver and getting Belton out there. I've already texted Belton. I said, look, you got to get there. Jamie, you can talk to Moj. He can get us a smoker. I'll even bring him a steak. We can all cook him out there. That is my plan.
Riders so have to get there first, Darren.
it doesn't make a difference if they're there or not. I'm there, you're there, Daryl's there, and Belton's going to get his butt on there. Right? If the Riders are there, it's bonus. I'll bring extra barbecue sauce.
I'll bring some of the spices that Belton uses.
Yeah. Right on, Darren. Have a great night. Even though the Riders lose 27-12 to the Calgary Stampeders, but it sounds like he got some points from Jake Mara in fantasy football.
Would not be wild. That doesn't usually happen. Jake Mara doesn't usually get a whole lot of fantasy points. But tonight, holy moly, he was Ricky Raiders' best.
Looked like the second coming of somebody.
Yeah, didn't he? Oh, my goodness.
It was like Jeff Garcia was back with the Calgary Stampeders. 1-877-332-8255. That line is now open here on the Green Zone postgame show. If you want to hit redial and get in line as we go to David next in Melfort. David, how you feeling going into the playoffs after watching this show? I had to bleep myself there.
Not very good. Oh, man, that was hard to watch. I turned it after the... I didn't even see the fourth quarter. I apologize. I turned it after the third quarter to watch baseball. I had enough of that. But
who's winning the ball game?
Well, it's 4-1 right now for the Dodgers.
All right.
Anyways, I don't think Harris has to be worried about his job security anyways.
Oh, no. That way. Yeah. Absolutely
true,
not.
True.
No one really showed anything there out of those two guys that were in there. And I'm wondering how come they took Patterson out so early. Was it because he was playing so bad, or did they just wanted to give Cone that much time?
Both. It had a lot to do with both, right? They let Cone at the end of the half probably run a 2-minute drill to see how he could handle it, and then said, you know what, just keep him in because Patterson wasn't playing very well.
Yeah. I don't like the way they just the vibe. The defense, I mean, even the first half, they give up a lot of yards, and they really weren't resting anyone in the first half other than Milligan didn't dress. But besides that, they were playing everybody, and it.
Yep.
I mean, they threw deep balls twice for touchdowns on them, and if Jake Mayer's going to do that, I'm pretty not happy what Vernon Adams is going to do then.
Mm-hmm. But, that's a great point.
I'm worried about that game with VA coming back. I think we're in trouble with our pass defense. I really do. But I hope I'm wrong. But maybe we're playing so vanilla today or something. It made it easier on him. I don't know. But we're going to have to do something better next week, or VA will throw six, like Belton said, for 600 yards. And who is number 31 for the Riders? Is that one of the Onyeka boys?
Kosi Onyeka.
Yeah. Well, that effort he put in on that long run by Mills right at the near the end of the game. Wow, that was terrible. He had a chance to tackle him. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but he just basically quit and said, no, I don't want nothing to do with that.
I thought you didn't watch the fourth quarter.
It was the fourth quarter with a minute left.
He just wanted to make sure, when's the postgame show on? I need to know what the final score is. David, always appreciate you giving us a ring here on the Green Zone postgame show. Here's the thing with that play. I can't tell who's who with those obsidian green jerseys.
They look nice close up on TV, and I know the merchants love and people are buying them, but if you're the play-by-play guy, I feel for those play-by-play guys. From the press box, we're saying, who's that? That's what, Jamie, we need binoculars sometimes just for those. You're right. You couldn't tell who was who a lot of times, right? And I don't like that. I realize they're selling merchandise, but you got to be able to tell who's who when you're watching a football game as a fan and as a media member.
1-877-332-8255. David's worried, though, as is Darren. So far, we're 3-for-3.
Yeah, and
concerning Rider Nation.
Two of us over here.
Sound the alarm, man. Vernon Adams coming here?
Well, I'm worried about Vernon Adams, but I'm not worried because of what I saw tonight. I'm just worried because Vernon Adams Jr. is a better quarterback than Nathan Rourke.
Yeah, but
at the moment. And he's usually better than Jake Mayer, too, but I don't know if anybody could have been better than Jake Mayer tonight. Vernon Adams can truly come in here and throw either six interceptions or for 600 yards, right? So the Riders, they're obviously not playing the same defense, and hopefully and for them, they don't play the same way they did tonight.
We're going to Northern California, it says here on the screen. Ryan, how's it going tonight?
Good, Jamie. So I wanted to get in a little bit. I've only been a fan of the Riders for 3 years, kind of picked this up during the pandemic. And this is the first year that I've watched them in the playoffs, so I have a little bit of a different perspective. I didn't take a lot out of that game tonight strictly because they had their backups in. The best part about that game was eventually to me that it had to end.
We thought the same way, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there was any serious injuries. Once I found out that they were having their backups in, I put the game on mute and started watching college football. So I'm just excited that my CFL team gets to have a home playoff game. I don't know if Vernon Adams, like you said, is going to come in and throw for six TDs or six interceptions. But the last two seasons I've watched them, they have fell apart after Labor Day. This year they haven't, so I'm going to take that with a grain of salt. I do have a question for Belton. Would you rather have an Ole Miss national championship or another Riders Grey Cup?
Oh, no! Here we go!
This is going to hurt.
Listen to this one. But I'm leaned right in. Yeah. Ryan, that's a great question. I'm leaned right in here. Stay on the line, Ryan. We need this answer.
Hotty toddy up.
Yeah! There it is. I knew that was going to be the answer. He's got a Grey Cup ring.
Yeah, right.
When's the last time Ole Miss won a national championship?
1960-something.
You
Ryan,
don't remember that one, I bet.
That just means they're due.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ryan, I'm curious. How'd you find the CFL, and why'd you land on the Riders?
During the pandemic, I had really nothing to do at home, so I found the show Corner Gas on Hulu.
Dog River.
Corner Glass led to Saskatchewan. I was like, oh, there's not much on. Let me throw on the CFL. I think it was still on ESPN Plus or Hulu. And green is my favorite color. Emulous is my favorite receiver, strictly because he wears number 19. And I've gotten one person the whole time I've worn Ryder gear in California. One person has actually been able to call it out. So, yeah, it's a
was it Drew Remenda, the color analyst of the San Jose Sharks?
It was some guy in San Diego. I have no idea who it was. I was wearing a Ryder shirt down in San Diego, and some guy was like, Ryder Pride. And I was like, yeah, sure.
Ryder Pride.
So, there you go. Yeah.
And you even say Saskatchewan pretty well, Ryan. Ryan, you even say Saskatchewan pretty well.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, they're in the playoffs. You know, you have a chance to win three straight games. You win a great cup. You have a chance to lose one game, and you're out of the playoffs. But fact is, I get to watch them in the playoffs. I'll take that over the last two seasons of them playing absolutely horrible the last two years.
Well, Ryan, shout out to Rider Nation all the way out in Northern California. Thanks for call. Hopefully we hear from you after the West semifinal, Ryan. Thanks for calling.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
That is Ryan, a member of Rider Nation in Northern California.
And he went all the way down to San Diego. That's a long haul down the number five.
The
Oceanfront Highway, whatever.
That's a beautiful drive down there, down the coast.
I'll go to San Diego anytime you want, man. We can stop and play Torrey Pines, Jamie, at La Jolla.
Yes, please.
I played it a few times.
And then head over to Tijuana. 1-877-332-8255.
Sorry, you better say the phone number again.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone postgame show. 27-12. Are you worried, Rider Nation? We'll get right back to the fan line next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you, the fans on the fan line. And of course, there is one line open if you want to get in now at 1-877-332-8255. As the Riders lose their final game of the regular season, 27-12, they'll finish 9-8-1, second place in the West Division as they will host the BC Lions. Next week, the Bombers do have home field in the West Final after Sergio Castillo's field goal at the end of the game in Montreal earlier today, which kind of sucked the air out of the balloon for Saskatchewan, who was looking so close to having a chance to play for first tonight. And I think there might have been a different story told tonight if Winnipeg loses. I think they would have rolled the Calgary Stampeders. I think.
I hope.
But they didn't. 27-12 loss. Let's go right back to the fan line. Ivan, you're up next. What are you thinking tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen. How's everyone?
We are great. Good. Saturday getting ready. It's nice that there's playoff football back at Mosaic Stadium again this year.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But, you know, I can't help thinking, that we kind of tried to shove this game off, you know, during the week. Well, you know, it really doesn't matter that much. Sure, it'd be nice if we got a chance. I think this game mattered a lot more than what people are giving credit to. Now, remember a few weeks back, Jamie, when I called in, we were during the slide. What did I say the record was going to be at the end of the season? Do you remember?
Was it like 9-9 or something?
No, you corrected me because I was missing the one off there. And we settled at 9-8-1. And do you remember what else I said? Now, I hadn't checked the calendar to see when the season actually finished for the last games, but I said first and third. Well, maybe we didn't figure out third. But first and third is going to be decided on a cold and windy day in November by a field goal. And that was decided today, was it not?
A windy day in Montreal, yep. That's for sure.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to cancel the rest of my prophecy that I said, because remember what I said? I said we're going to limp in the playoffs and probably lose to BC.
You might be right, Ivan.
No. I got to cancel that, because you know what? All is not lost. This could have been, 7-up Saturday instead of it ended up being like Flat Coke Saturday. it was just a complete gas bomb. But all in all, my friends, after all this, I agree with a lot of what Dallas said before, because I think there was a little bit of attitude that could have been a lot different during the week. You didn't hear Moss talking about aw shucks, right? Moss was pissed after the last game, and he said, you know what, we're going to put everybody out today. You know, and if it hadn't been for that demon wind that came up there somehow, they would have been, you know, we would have still been playing for first. But as they say in football, she's a whole new ball game next week.
That's why they say, Ivan, and thanks for the call as always. Just get to the dance in the CFL, and who knows what's going to happen. But
wouldn't you like to be bouncing high when you get there rather than wallowing on the ground?
Absolutely.
Okay, they're wallowing on the ground.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not. This Rider team is not wallowing on anywhere. Yeah. They had a four-game winning streak, and can't you understand the mentality of today? Like an hour before, Belton was going through the emotions like a former player. He was jumping up and down like, yes, here we go. And then like a 60 seconds later, son of a... And then all of that's like you just mentality. That's an emotional letdown to go into an emotional game that you need. I completely understand. I even surmised, should I change my pick to the Stampeders? Because I just felt, I don't know about how they're going to mentally go. I think they quickly flip this around and get ready for the BC Lions.
And that doesn't worry you that they had no enthusiasm or emotion tonight.
Nope.
Okay.
Now, As I said earlier, I think next week's game against BC is going to be a dandy football game that's going to be very, very close, and I could see the BC line.
Why do you think that?
Because of Vernon Adams Jr.
Yes, because they're on a hot. They got hot. They
It has nothing to do with the Riders. This game, it has everything to do with Vernon Adams Jr. Uh-huh. I would have had the same feeling if the Riders would have rolled over the Calgary Stampeders. I still would have thought that Vernon Adams Jr. is coming in. And it's going to be a very close game.
He looked great last week.
Yes, he did.
BC got its mojo back because of Vernon Adams Jr.
I'm with you.
And the Riders lost their mojo tonight.
They didn't lose any mojo.
We'll find out next week, Jamie. That's true. We'll find out next week. But I think they lost their mojo tonight.
1-877-332-8255. Man, we're going to get in the Rouge later. This is going to be great. Daryl and I are going to have to.
We may not have to talk about the Rouge. We got a lot of people wondering about tonight's game, Jamie. There's two sides to it. I realize, of course, there are two sides. We got a lot going on. But...
Oh, Lynette, can you turn the radio down real quick? Sorry.
Turn the radio down. Hello?
Hi, Lynette. How's it going in Saskatoon tonight? What are you thinking?
Okay. It doesn't even bother me that we lost as much as the attitude of the players. Like, we sit right behind the Rough Rider bench, mm-hmm. like, where they have their players. The ones that weren't playing weren't even paying attention to the game. They're, like, fooling around.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
I mean, they were just, like, the mood was jovial. And they didn't seem to care if they lost or not. And that kind of bothered me. It was the attitude.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Way to go, Lynette. That's what we're saying. Yeah.
Do you think that'll have any impact on their ability to beat the BC Lions next week?
I really think we have the ability. Oh, absolutely.
How about the enthusiasm?
Yeah.
I just don't like... You know, it just bothered me, the attitude of the players, that's all.
Well, and I can understand, Lynette, you're season ticket holder, you're driving down from Saskatoon, it's fan appreciation night, and you show up, and they're like, hey, we're low under, what's the score? Hey, how's it going? Way to go, Roland Milligan, let's go, here we go, yay.
And Trevor Harris, who all week said, we're going to do it, we're working, I don't care what happens, we're going to play hard, and then they don't put him in the game.
Mm-hmm.
There goes a lot of your leadership and your lot of your momentum, mm-hmm. right? Momentum's not a vague word, but they had that going for them because he was going to make sure that they followed him carrying the flag. And as soon as they yanked him, I thought, "Geez, just start him, right? He wants to start. He's their leader,
even if it's a couple series.
Yes,
right?
And I thought so too. And that I didn't mind what Montreal did. They played their hardest, the Alouettes tonight, with Cody Fajardo, mm-hmm. their starter, and then made a change later on. Gave Davis Alexander a good opportunity in a difficult spot and almost pulled it out. Entertaining game. That's what to me is the difference tonight, Jamie. That the Montreal Alouettes had nothing to play for, played their guts out with their starters for almost the entire game. The Saskatchewan Roughriders did the opposite.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Asking you, do you think this game matters at all in their chances to beat the BC Lions next week? Les in Corning. How are you feeling tonight, Les?
Well, guys, holy moly, what a crap game. what do you say about that? The weather gods saved Winnipeg. Unbelievable. I was hoping they'd call the game right there. It's not unusual for Montreal not to do that. But anyhow, yeah, it just, I don't know. The guys were playing, they couldn't catch. They didn't want to hit too hard because they didn't want to get hurt. It was just a crap game right from, like you guys said, an hour before the game come on when they found out Winnipeg won. Okay, yeah, okay, they're, look at all the sideline, all the good guys. And that just showed you, I think, how well those good guys come up against who was out there as a team, because we had nothing out there. Calgary played like, okay, they're going out with a win. They made a statement. And for Dave Dickinson, Corey Mace, I'll applaud Corey Mace. Look at how our season before he came here was two seasons in a row, pretty crappy. He made us into the playoffs. And you know what, guys? I love it because I get to call into your show at least one more time.
Yeah, Les! Yeah. Can't wait to hear you after the semifinal against the BC Lions.
No more bets with your wife, Les.
One of the funniest calls in the history was after that Montreal game. Les is sober as ever because the Riders lost by 40 to the Montreal Alouettes. I bet my wife that she got to drink every time the Alouettes score, and I got to drink whenever the Riders score. Was one of the funniest ones ever. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. We got Kyle coming up, and the fan of the year's on the line, ladies and gentlemen. It's next on the Green Zone postgame show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone. We'll also keep you up to date on the World Series as well. What's going on?
What's going on with Kyle's line?
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Let's go to Kyle up next on the fan line. Kyle, what are you thinking tonight?
Oh, it's a pretty rough run, you guys. I mean, I've watched a lot of those week 19, 20 games over the last 30 years, and yeah, it's pretty disappointing for the football operations to really put that out for the fans to see, who are paying a lot of money in the cold there. So it reminded me a lot of that Hamilton game last year. I think we lost like 38-12 or something in week 17. So pretty rough feeling. I don't know what you guys thought, but...
Do you think this will impact at all their team's momentum into the playoffs?
You know, no, I mean, I think that for the guys who have been in that locker room, I don't think it will. I think they will, you know, be able to justify why they, of course, didn't play their starters and, you know, didn't put people in harm's way for injuries. I get that. I don't think it'll affect them. Coach Mace will be able to turn it around enough. I think the biggest thing probably here that, you know, Mr. Reynolds and everybody else up top has to be concerned about is that was a really poor effort for everybody, you know, who paid money to come in the at least semi-cold to watch that team one final time before the playoffs start. So that's the part that really hurt me. I think they'll turn it around. I think it'll be competitive. I agree. We might get the VA who goes for six good ones or six bad ones, but I think next week will obviously be better, but it's still disappointing for the fans in the stands tonight to have to sit through that.
Well, Kyle, thanks so much for the call. And, yeah, I can understand the frustration. I absolutely can.
Fan Appreciation Day.
By the way, we believe that was the lowest attended game in the new stadium ever.
It was, yeah, because earlier this year there were 23,000 of some, and that was the lowest since the opening of the stadium in 2017, 22,000 tonight. So, yes, lowest ever.
22,708
maybe they thought like the Riders, not worth going to it or something, right? With the when they saw the Alouettes lose that game today. No need to come out.
Well, a lot of people. We wonder how many you sell because people aren't waiting to the last moment to go. You don't you don't often do that with Rough Rider games because you got to plan to park and you got to make all your trip arrangements and everything. And you know, a lot of the fans do come up from out of town, but still, it could have meant something. And it wasn't a bad night to watch football. The guys who were outside, so it was a little chilly, but you never ever dress. It's like us going to practice, Jamie. You can never have too many warm clothes on at a football practice.
It's all about layers.
We've gone through the heat of the summer, and just the other day we're sitting there thinking, boy, where'd the heat go? Because we were shivering away. Now, if people laugh at me for wearing a winter parka to practice, I don't care. I'm warm. And tonight, the same thing. When you show up to a game, just overdress, and you can take off layers and watch the game. It was a nice night to watch a football game.
1-877-332-8255 as we continue here on the Green Zone postgame show. An update on the World Series. Shohei Ohtani tried to steal second base and jammed his arm on the base, and he is leaving to the locker room, and he looks in considerable amount of pain for the L.A. Dodgers as they are holding his arm very gently as they escort him to the clubhouse. So that is not good news for the Dodgers in Game 2 of the World Series, but the Dodgers do lead tonight. But we have a very special guest here on the Green Zone postgame show.
Ooh.
It's the fan of the year. He was announced as the 13th man fan of the year at the stadium tonight. His name is, I call him Gov, Govind. He drives in from Calgary or flies in, depending on the budget. Congratulations, Your Royal Highness of Fan of the Year, Govind. No, you didn't give me the heads up. There's no, like, nothing. Couldn't have broken the news on the pregame show.
I was sworn to secrecy.
Well, you did a very good job. Congratulations. You deserve it because the amount of time and effort you put into this organization. If you watch back to the 1989 Grey Cup and see the crowd shot, he's there. He's in the crowd in Toronto.
Not me. That's actually, I know who it is, but it's not me.
What do you got, Gov? What are you thinking tonight? Does this game matter at all?
Well, first of all, I figured I had to call in after you sent me a message and acknowledged everything. And then, you gave me the perfect reason to call in with the question. And I believe you even have someone in the booth there that thinks this game matters.
What's that?
Out of the three of you, there's somebody there who even thinks this game matters for next week?
Daryl and Belton think this game matters for next week.
I will absolutely 100% disagree, and here's three reasons why.
Okay, one.
I've 89 Grey Cup win, nothing game at Edmonton, last game of the year. We got absolutely shellacked. Did it matter?
No.
2007, sat all our starters last game of the year. Toronto came in here, had to play for first place, blew us out. Did it matter?
No.
2013, we sat starters. I think Tino Cinceri played the fourth quarter. We played an Edmonton team that missed a playoff. We lost that game. Did that one matter?
No.
We won in 2009, 2019, won our last game of the year to finish first in the West. Did we get great cups those years?
Well, they should have had the one.
This game, I mean, it was like a stomach punch when, like that bad punt by Montreal happened. I mean, I think when Montreal missed the 60-yarder, like, all of us thought, this is going to happen. I mean, the fans were down, and we knew, like, you could hear, between the lines, they said yesterday, Harris was not going to play. Milligan, all those guys were not going to play. It didn't matter. I mean, this game really, it means nothing for the game next week against BC. Not a thing. But if we lose that game next week against BC, it's got nothing to do with what happened today. It'll be like, Vernon had him suddenly got hot. We got flat, which I don't think is going to happen. Like some other guys said, Vernon can come out here and like light the world on fire, or he can even throw a few picks. And I honestly think we're a more physical team than BC on both lines. And I think that's going to be a big key and why I'm feeling good about next week. And even if we win next week, I used to be scared of Winnipeg, to be honest with you, the last few years, because they beat us up on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Not saying we can beat them, or like that we will beat them, but you know what? We match up with them finally for once. They can't out-physical us and push us around like they used to.
Well, Gov, you deserve the Fan of the Year. Great call. Thanks for the history lesson on the LLL.
He agrees with Jamie, so it's a great call.
Of course it is.
All right.
I just look back. I was just like, wait. Did they lose every time they won the Grey Cup? Did they lose their final regular season game? No. But in 1966, it's not like they went in the playoffs with a lot of momentum. They won. What are the two? They went 2-4-1 in their final stretch going into the playoffs in the 1966 season before beating the Bombers in both those West, because back in the day they did the two-game West final, and then, of course, the win over Ottawa. Let's go back to the fan line. Glenn's up next. Also could be a candidate for Fan of the Year. Glenn, what are you thinking tonight?
Thanks for that. Shout out to Gov. I didn't know that he was in Calgary. Like, him and I have been friends on social media for a long time. Great call, Gov. I agree with you 100%. But we got to pump the brakes here on everyone saying, oh, this game means a lot. You know, it really doesn't. Like, think about it this way. Like, it's the first time in I don't know how many years that no team from Alberta is in the CFL playoffs. And, no team in Canada West from Alberta is in the playoffs either since last night. It's like this, you know, karma said, no soup for you.
I'll teach them that they'll elect Danielle Smith, won't it?
Hey, I'm sorry. I was at the Rams game last night.
Me too, Glenn. I didn't see you. I was looking for you.
Oh, were you?
I saw you posting at the Vanier Cup on your website or on your Twitter account, though.
Yeah. I seem to get a lot of photos with the big trophies. I photographed with Ann a few weeks ago back in Moose Jaw, too. So, hugging that.
Did you have a picture of Randy Ambrosi lately? I want to know if you're bad luck.
No, I don't have. Yeah, I don't have one with Randy and that. I've got some with the Grey Cup, though. But,
okay.
No, it's good. I think we're going to be okay. We rested our starters. Gov's right. Like, I think we're going to be good next week. Like, Winnipeg, they had to get down and dirty today to win that game. You know, walk off, you know, whatever. It's life. Like, they did it. Good for them. You know, they've got first place. But we've got all our starters rested, so we'll see what happens next week. I think the Riders are going to take it next week. I'm pretty sure.
Well, Glenn, I'm interested. I think it's going to be a fantastic football game because, hey, the BC Lions have a bye. They had their bye. They're going to be well-rested. They're going to be well-prepared. That coaching staff broke down the Riders and the Bombers, you know it, all week long. It didn't. Some people said on the broadcast, oh, now the BC Lions are going to turn on their Rider film. No. They had a week. They did probably 3 days on the Bombers, 3 days on the Riders, had it all planned out, and now this week we'll be all in on the Winnipeg Blue or on the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Remind me about this, Belton. Didn't the Riders just come off a bye?
They did. They had lots and
the time to get ready. Yeah. So I guess those bye weeks don't necessarily help.
The BC Lions will not come into next week's game watching the chances for first place go poof an hour before kickoff.
I hope they can survive that emotional crushing. Like, the Rough Riders obviously couldn't tonight.
1-877-332-8255. Scott, you're up next. What are you thinking on a 27-12 loss to the Calgary Stampeders to wrap up the season?
Well, if I have to rate this game on a scale between Tino Sunseri and Patrick Tebow,
I remember them both.
I'm going to settle on a junior Mertile.
Oh, good.
So it was a really good thing that this was a meaningless game, and thank goodness we were able to give Trevor Harris a little rest, even though he didn't want it, because if he gets injured, we are in some big trouble.
Yep.
Yeah.
As much as I love Frankie Hickson, that may be the last we've seen of him ever in a Rider uniform. I don't think he should be back next year.
Yeah, no traction. That's been a disappointment, hasn't it?
Yeah, big time. I mean, he's got speed to burn, and I mean, he looks so good in camp and just cannot seem to get through traffic for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's been, Belton and I have talked about that one a bit. That, you know, we kept thinking that explosiveness. He had that great first half in the game in Montreal, right? And
he did,
we haven't heard from him since. And, you know,
go ahead. He looks he looks like a home run hitter. Like he should be able to take one to the house like Kent and Keith used to do, but it just, for whatever reason, he just can't seem to put it together. And I just do not understand why they will not get the ball to Thomas Bertrand-Hudon.
You and Belton both, yeah.
Anyway, thanks, guys. We'll see you in the playoffs.
Right on, Scott. Thanks for the call. And by the way, if you type in a Junior Mertile...
on video, on YouTube?
M-E-R-T-I-L-E. To be, no, if you find Junior Mertile whiffs... You can watch the video.
Remember that missed tackle?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We called him Turd Style because he whiffed right on that horrible tackle. What a way to leave your legacy with the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
I think it was a Darius Bowman of the Edmonton Eskimos at the time. Catches a pass. He's running up the middle. Junior Mertile looks like he's about to make a tackle and then stops. And watches him run by.
He kind of had his arms out like a Turd Style.
He was like, oh.
Yeah, and he just rotated like a turnstile.
That post game, he said was, "I thought my guy was going to make the tackle." Mike,
oh man!
As soon as his name's mentioned, there's people around here, longtime fans. I remember him.
What a
horrible way to have to be remembered.
Vomit-inducing Junior Mertile.
Junior Mertile, Patrick Thibault. There's a name I hadn't heard for a while. A high draft pick who just never panned out as a receiver. He was tough as nails. He just didn't seem to fit in.
No.
He didn't speak English. He was a Francophone, and it just seemed like he didn't meld into the team very well. Had some talent, but never panned out, which was unfortunate because he looked like a skillful player.
Then there was the Tino Cinceri reference.
Yeah, that's just too good.
Although Tino Cinceri is the quarterback's coach of Curtis Rourke, who's doing a...
Good for him.
He's a pretty darn good coach.
Yeah. Oh, good. He Tino always knew about his footwork.
Yeah, and his eyes were in the right
place. His eyes were in the right place. So good. I'm glad he's technical. He was not a good CFL quarterback, Jamie. But if he's a good coach, all power to him.
Like
good
Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, Sarkisian couldn't throw those outs, man. Did you hear what Roy Shivers told me that week? He said, Shivers said one of the first guys we cut was Steve Sarkisian because he was on the roster when Shivers showed up. Said he can't. With Roy, there was an obscenity.
Bleeping.
Can't play in this league. So they cut him right away. He says, now he's coaching Texas and making $10 million a year. He owes me half of that, Shivers.
Jamie and I, Belton Johnson, Daryl Davis here on the Green Zone post-game show. Let's get to the play of the game.
Maybe it made you. It might have made you. Or maybe just made you.
Come on!
It's time for the play of the game.
I don't know what Daryl Davis's pick for the play of the game, but I know what I'd pick for the play of the game, and it has nothing to do with what happened at Mosaic Stadium today.
You could say it was the kick
in Montreal.
You and I have quibbled about this one a little bit, and I agree with you. That had a lot to do with deflating the Rough Riders and led to their pitiful performance today.
Yep.
But I'm saying the next part, Jamie, that you and I, as we were walking out of the stadium today, you said, that was when they lost it. I say, no, they lost it when Corey Mace made those roster changes. And he said Shea Patterson is starting ahead of Trevor Harris. And other starters are sitting. There are game time decisions. We're resting them. That took all the air out of the Rough Riders balloon. The two of them combined, sure, I'll totally agree with it. But because we're talking about this game, I'm not even looking up the play-by-play. And Corey Mace, he learned something today, I think, right, about how to deal with the team.
If you're going to send a message that, hey, it doesn't matter what happens in that game.
Yeah.
You made it matter when you made those roster changes.
Yeah. And he made it not matter, right?
Yep.
That's what Corey Mace's decisions tonight on the roster made that game not matter to the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And I know he'll learn from this. He'll realize how flat his team got because of it and because of the week that they led up to. He and Trevor Harris were the strongest advocates saying, this game matters. We're looking at it as everything matters. And what did Trevor Harris say? I approach every game like it's a playoff game. Yeah. That's the way I have to think. They took that away from this entire team tonight. So, Jamie, it's before the game even started. It's not on the score sheet, but to me, that's the play of the game.
There it is, the play of the game here on the Green Zone post-game show. We have to take a quick timeout. We'll get right back to the fan line. We also have audio coming back from Britton Gray, our Green Zone Rider reporter from Mosaic, to get the thoughts of the head coach. Coming up here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.